You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, a new study at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health is looking at risk factors for African Americans in developing Alzheimer's disease, including things like neighborhood stress.
First, when you think of a donkey or an elephant on, say, Election Day, what comes to mind?
If you're like many people, your mind likely jumps to the two major political parties of the United States.
Both the donkey and the elephant have served as symbols for the Democratic and Republican parties, respectively, for decades. But how did this come to be? What do those symbols mean, and why have they persisted as long as they have?
On this Election Day, we seek to answer these historical burning questions.
Historian Ken Davis joins us for a look at the history of the original party animals. He's the author of Don't Know Much About History, Everything You Need to Know About American History But Never Learned, and In the Shadow of Liberty. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me, and happy Election Day, and we all are happy it's here.
Well, both parties are hoping they come in first today, Ken. Which of these animal symbols came to be first?
Well, the first is the one of the oldest party of the two, and that's the Democrats. It was 1828, and it was actually not meant as a very complimentary thing that Andrew Jackson was called a jackass, but he kind of liked it and adopted Jackass Jackson as a name. He was quite comfortable with that idea, and it was not long before the donkey became established as the symbol of the Democratic Party. And while I'm saying that, this is in 1828, by the way, when the Democratic Party really was born. Before that, it had been called the Democratic Republicans. I have to just clean something up because of my previous appearance. I had said it was the 1828 election that he fought with John Quincy Adams. That was actually 1824, came back 4 years later, and won the election of 1828. So I had my dates off last time. We want to make sure that we always keep things accurate.
And so how about that elephant for the GOP?
Well, the GOP elephant comes along a bit later. It's, of course, the Republican Party really comes along in the 1850s. 1856 is their first presidential nominee. John Charles Fremont was the Republican candidate. It was a party that grew out of a lot of splintered parties that had fractured over the years, the Whigs, the Know-Nothings, some of the abolitionist parties coalesced as the Republican Party, and they field a presidential candidate in 1856. It's, of course, in 1860 that Lincoln wins, and the idea of the elephant was actually discussed at that time, but not the image didn't really come about until the 1870s, and it's really Thomas Nast, the famous American political cartoonist, who really firms up both of these images in his cartoons, and they become completely linked with the two separate parties by that point. And we're talking about around 1874 and then in 1876.
Yeah, let's talk about Thomas Nast, because as you say, both these symbols kind of came together, and he really helped set them in concrete in a way for both those parties. Talk about him and the role he played in popularizing those.
Well, Nast was an extraordinary political cartoonist, most famous, especially in New York, for going after the Democratic machine in New York, Tammany Hall, as it was known. And he really went after them as for their corruption and was quite vicious in skewering the Democratic Party and the Tammany Hall. He was a pretty much a loyal Republican himself, but by far one of the most influential political cartoonists and artists of his time. And we're talking about going from the 1870s and well into for the next 20 years or so. In addition to his political cartoons, of course, Nast is perhaps most famous for creating a version of Santa Claus and Uncle Sam that we're very familiar with. So when we think about those iconic images, they're really part of Nast's history. The other part of his history is a little bit different, which is that he was virulently anti-Catholic. And this is an important part of our political history that we don't talk about too much, but well into the 20th century, anti-Catholicism was, and especially Irish Catholics, were seen as the dangerous, dirty immigrants of their day. They were the alien immigrants that people feared in America, not just because they were taking jobs, because people feared that Catholics were coming into the country and they were actually going to take over the country and create a new Vatican for the Pope in this country. That was a very widely held view in America of the 19th century, most famously by the so-called Know Nothing Party, which briefly flourished for a bit in the 1830s and 40s before it was also eventually absorbed into the Republican Party.
It seems for cartoonists through time that these symbols have never fallen out of favor, that they've always been some go-to images for cartoonists. Is there something to that?
Well, I think that because NASP had created such permanent images, they did become iconic, and so there was no way around them. At one point, someone had used a fox. In fact, NASP himself had drawn, I believe, a fox for the Democrats, and it was just not quite as powerful. He also had shown a picture of the donkey kicking a lion at one point, and this is really before the Republican Party came into its heyday, and so though the lion and the fox never caught on quite the way the donkey and the elephant did.
Talking to Ken Davis, historian, author of Don't Know Much About History, looking at some of the finer points of American political history, where, among other things, the parties got their mascots. Was there something, Ken, that people latched onto later about the properties of those animals, the donkey or jackass, as Andrew Jackson was called, the elephant for the Republicans? Did they start to say, hey, there are positive traits of these animals that we think, yeah, represent us pretty well?
Well, that's the interesting part, I suppose, about Jackson himself in 1828 choosing to say, "Oh, I'm fine with that." He chose to use it for the rest of his career because he felt that this kind of stubborn animal that doesn't listen to anybody else was he was fine with that image even into his retirement. He was shown as a kind of a stubborn jackass, and Jackson was very happy with that. One other thing about the elephant we should mention is that one of the reasons it came into prominence, that there was a Civil War expression widely used, that when you went into battle, you were going to see the elephant. So it really came out of the Civil War and the elephant being something of a representation of the Civil War, which was, of course, a war that was led by a Republican president. So that notion of seeing the elephant as this battle imagery is also connected to the elephant, because we can think about it in terms of it's big, it's strong, it's powerful, but it had a very, very specific meaning during the Civil War.
And Ken, as you watch these symbols through time, as you've seen these cartoons through time and how these symbols have been used, has there ever been a time where they've really stood out to you as being sending a really powerful message?
You know, I think they it's not so much the message that they've sent is that they really become just so identifiable as icons, as symbols of the separate parties, just as the way we see the eagle and we think American eagle and symbol of the U.S. in that. So it's really less the totem value of these animals. I don't think anybody really thinks. I'm sure that there have been plenty about jokes over the centuries about Democrats being jackasses, fewer about Republicans as elephants. But, it's really much more of just that graphic hit that you see right away and you know exactly who we're talking about.
Now, a question occurred to me today, Ken, that I'd never thought of before. As you mentioned, the Democratic Party, substantially older than the Republican Party, Yeah, which one do we call the GOP, the grand old party? How did that come to be, that Republicans, the younger party, are the old party?
That's an interesting question. It really came about much more recently that I'm going to struggle for a moment to remember exactly who called it that, but it was not until well into the 20th century that the GOP got that that specific name. And I'm going to say it might have been perhaps Taft, one of the Tafts who came up with it. But, you know, there's a lot of confusion about Republican and Democrat, because when Thomas Jefferson and James Madison were creating what eventually became the Democratic Party, they were first called the Democratic Republicans. So it was a, you know, it is, in a sense, it does go back that old, that long in American history, and we're talking about, you know, to the election of 1800. But it was not until late in the 19th century, maybe even the early 20th century, that a writer for one of the newspapers coined this phrase, "Grand Old Party."
Well, Ken, are these elephants and donkeys here to stay well into the future? Are they with us now for eternity as the party symbols?
I suspect so. It's hard for me to imagine somebody saying, "Let's change the party symbol to something else." One other, because it's so fascinating, I think, and we are on a Tuesday. So many people do ask me about that as well. Why are we voting on Tuesday? And that is really a throwback to, we can blame it on the farmers. In the days when it took a long time to get to the county seat to vote, you needed 2 days to get there to vote. That's where the polling places were. You couldn't travel on Sunday, or you couldn't vote on Sunday, so it made sense that you traveled on a Monday and you voted on Tuesday, and then you would be able to go home. So that's really the throwback to the 19th century agricultural traditions of America as the reason we're voting on Tuesday. And many people have suggested that we should really rethink that a little bit. And of course, the fact that it was in November meant that was the kind of quiet time for farmers. The harvest was already in, it wasn't too cold yet, and so it made sense to make this a day in November, but a day where you can didn't have to travel on the Sabbath. So that's why we vote on Tuesday.
And here we are today. Ken, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thanks so much. It was my pleasure, and you can find out more at don'tknowmuch.com.
That's Ken Davis, historian, author of Don't Know Much About History, Everything You Need to Know About American History But Never Learned. He joined us on this election day to give us the history behind, among other things, the Republican elephant and the Democratic donkey.
Coming up after the news, African Americans are twice as likely to develop Alzheimer's disease compared to Caucasians. A new UW study is looking at risk factors that could set the stage for the disease. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.